Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day in February 2022.
Did you do anything special for Wifey Poo?
No.
Yeah, I didn't. I went out with her father for dinner.
Was he your Valentine?
Well, it was. She said it meant more to her than anything ever by going out to dinner with her and her dad, because her dad is now in a new facility, kind of an assisted living facility.
Did you have to get him out of the facility?
We stayed in the facility. They had a lovely dinner. It was nice.
Oh.
It was nice. They did it all up and everybody came in or wheeled in the case may be. And it was a nice evening. It was nice. So everybody was happy. It didn't cost me anything because he paid. So that was good.
Gee.
Yep. We were talking offline about this new drug, this new eye drop for presbyopia, which is basically inability to see close as you get older. It's only good for people that don't wear glasses at all and have, I guess it's called farsighted. I guess you're farsighted. So let me tell you what happened. What it's supposed to do is shrink your retina. Like as in if you're outside in the bright sun, your retina squinches down, right? And as opposed to those drops that they put in to dilate your eyes, right? So I took this drop tonight. I got it tonight in the mail.
You finally. It shrinks your pupil.
Pupil.
Shrinking your retina. I wouldn't recommend. Probably not
a good idea, right? So I put these two drops in, and immediately I felt like my eyes were pulling out of my head. And then everything got very dim. Then I got kind of like looking through smoky glass was my vision for the next 30 minutes. Then I was looking something in the house for something, and I had to use the flashlight on my phone to try to find it because I couldn't see, okay?
Yeah, because you're dark.
Dark, very dark. My pupils looked like the size of the point on a pencil. They were ridiculous looking. And I couldn't see right, and I was kind of getting a headache. And then it finally got a little bit better, and I was able to read things close, but not much better than I would have if I didn't have the glasses on, you know, the readers. So big, I got to read a little bit more. But if it is this much of a problem for the first hour and a half where I can't see and it's too dark and everything is wrinkly, I don't think that's probably good for me.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
And besides that, well, how hard is it to wear some reading glasses?
Not hard, but this is just a nice little trick if it works, but it didn't seem to work for me.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, what else do we have? Quick report on fishing. I was in a fishing tournament on Saturday. Left the dock at 5 a.m. for a sailfish challenge. Took the boat out. Got bait. Now the bait was no longer $85 per dozen of these goggle-eyed live fish. He was jacking the prices up to $100 because, you know, inflation, you're allowed to do this, right? So, then all of a sudden, I said to him, no thanks. And he dropped his price back down to $85. I bought four dozen. We took the boat. We turned right out of Fort Lauderdale, headed down to Key Biscayne, 40 miles south. Started fishing at 7:01. Fished from 7:01 to 3 p.m., all up and down the Miami coast. How many sailfish do you think this fantastic fisherman and his crew were able to get?
Two.
You're off by two.
Got none.
None. Not one. We had a hammerhead shark circling our baits, which almost gave our baits a heart attack. We had to throw little pebbles at it to get rid of it. We did catch a bonita, but that was it for the whole day. The whole day.
Well, bonita's good eating.
No good eating. Not these kind
it's
of
not?
Bonita. No, these are the worst. These are...
Why?
It's a
different... Bonita, they're tasty.
No, not the bonita you're thinking about. This is a different bonita. Seriously. This is a red meat. I'm not talking red. I'm talking about iodine-y, dark, disgusting, bloody red.
That's what the Japanese bonita tastes like.
Not this stuff. It's not edible.
Oh, well, okay. Well, the other stuff is.
Yeah. I mean, that's my story about the weekend.
Well, that sounds like a waste of time.
Total waste of time and money and all. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning making sandwiches and didn't get back home till 5. And then went back for the weigh-in session. The winning fish on the meat side was a 42-pound kingfish, nice fish. And the winning boat got 5 sailfish.
I thought it was for sailfish.
It's sailfish, and they have a secondary little baby tournament on the side. So there you go. There you go. There you go. All right, next. Let's talk about a warm-up, what's going on. We have markets on edge, of course, because we have the inflation that's been a concern, but that was pushed aside by the Russian invasion in the Ukraine and the games that were being played and all. Very fascinating. But now what we see is social media is seemingly used to announce intentions on invasion for war games. We're using Twitter and Facebook for the official page of Zelensky and Putin with his saying NPR and all the, they're going in, they confirmed this, they're doing that.
And then Jack.
Unbelievable. This whole social media thing. We'll talk about that. Home prices are high, but rents are even higher.
Yeah, rents are a complete ripoff.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl, of course, which ad stood out. And the poor monkeys. Very sad situation with monkeys that I want to talk about.
You know, I didn't, you know, unlike everybody else, because I didn't, I wasn't that interested in this game. And so I'm not going to sit there and watch commercials. I mean, that's 20, check the calendar, you know, maybe 1990, this was the good idea. Or 99, maybe up to 2000, it was a big deal. Oh, let's watch the great commercials. You know?
Oh, yeah, that was the thing.
I don't do that. I mean, that's 20 years ago. I mean, who wants to watch commercials, sit there and watch commercials? Dumb.
The excitement about the commercials had to be an ad agency creating the excitement around commercials, don't you think?
Must have been, but that ad agency is gone and people don't talk them up so much anymore. Besides that, I watched some of the Olympics and there's a number of channels, 4K channels, which I can get. So I'm watching the Olympics and all those same, because I noticed a few of the commercials during the Super Bowl, even though I skipped them because I kind of pre-recorded the whole game. And then the same commercials. They're playing all those commercials now in the Olympics. I bet you NBC did a deal. They said, hey, look, you can pay this fortune for the Super Bowl commercial. We'll cut you a real sweet deal for run the same commercial in the Olympics. Because the same commercials, I'm telling you.
No, there they are. I've been watching the same commercials. Oh, you're talking about during the Olympics?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. A twofer.
Yeah, well, you get a, this is what you do.
But probably, I would assume that they had the commercials run first on the Super Bowl so that they kept them hidden in secret.
Yeah, I'm sure that was true, but who cares? I don't care. What, I'm all jacked up about watching commercials? I mean, this is you have to be a real sucker.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, I think somebody obviously stepped out and said, hey, let's get them to watch the commercials by creating a buzz about watching the commercials. It's the only thing that makes sense.
It was in 1985. Yeah. It was definitely the case.
Right.
Check the calendar, people.
Yeah, exactly. All right, a quick market update. Nasty downside action that we've been seeing. Of course, sellers have been hitting it all rallies. We'll see what happens tomorrow after today's blockbuster rally again on the excitement that we're not going to war. Oh, but Bullard's been out shaking up markets Monday morning once again, talking about how, hey, you know what? We really need to be aggressive now because we were wrong about inflation. So here's the subtext. We were wrong about inflation. Therefore, we need to clean up our mess at your expense. Talking about a half percentage point increase, probably going to happen immediately at the March meeting, and hiking rates up to 1% by July. So that would be the equivalent of 4 hikes by July, 4 25-basis-point hikes by July. Now, of course, this happened on Friday, freaked everybody out. Everybody's pulling their hair out, running through the streets with their pants on fire, freaking out over the weekend. And then we get this whole war thing and the, you know, they're going to invade and oil is up and this crazy stuff. We got to do something about this by Monday. Well, over the weekend, there was a lot of Fed speakers. And what did they do? They walked back. Oh, well, I don't think we're going to raise that much. We're going to be more methodical and watch the data. And then Bullard comes out again because the NBC's got to get this guy again on. If he hasn't done enough damage to begin with, let's get him on Monday's show. Gets on Monday's show. And once again, he says the same thing. You know, we really need to get ahead of this because this is really a lot worse than we. Inflation has picked up a lot more than expectations, which they, again, I just want to state this for the record, have totally blown from the beginning. The Fed.
Yeah, it looks like it.
PPI hit 1%.
Big experts, by the way.
Oh, well, of course they're the experts. They get paid to be the experts. Again, another great marketing slash ad team surrounding the Fed to provide the glow about their glorious expertise in the area of economics. It's got to be a PR firm out there that's working that angle, just like the commercials. Probably the same group.
Yeah.
Got to be the same group.
Well, there's only like three major companies now that own all the same advertising agencies.
Got to be the same guy. Somebody in a room. You're going to take the Fed. You're going to take the Super Bowl ads. PPI, the producer price index. We saw CPI on Friday get pretty hot. PPI today, obnoxious. 1% month over month and 9.7% year over year. Now there's some concern about, well, if we continue with these rates at the top end, are we going to be able to pass this on to consumers? We got a couple of reports about that coming up. And the oil market deflating after the big move that we saw last week, and the Russian concerns started to abate a little bit. That's kind of what happened. So
yeah, but it's still high.
It is. I thought we'd start with inflation because everybody, that's all they could talk about is inflation. I've seen, I'm cruising through, where was I? I was somewhere. Oh, I was at pre-dinner at my father-in-law's, and he had MSNBC on with the volume that clearly was above the 100 mark on the television somehow.
Yeah, okay. I can see, yeah.
You know? And they're talking about, you know, somebody's on there, close up. I think it's Ari Melber? Ari Melber? Ari somebody.
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
Ari Melber.
Ari.
There's a close-up. I mean, close-up to the point that the whole screen is pretty much his face. And he has some very bad teeth that I did notice. Aside from that, he's talking about inflation. It's hitting everybody. But, of course, it's disproportionately hitting African-Americans, Latinos, and people of color. And it's hitting the... doesn't really touch the people in the middle class as much, but it does. And the upper class, they don't care because they're just passing it on. I'm like, oh, here we go. More class warfare with this whole thing, right?
That's the idea.
I understand. There is some truth to what he says, that if we're talking about essentials like food and gas prices and those go up substantially, it does disproportionately hit people of lower income. You got to admit that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
That makes sense. So the supply chains continue to be concerned. Of course, Canadian truckers' strike is being added to the supply chain squeeze. On a year-over-year basis, total CPI is up 7.5%, the highest since February 1982. Of course, CPI up 6%, highest since August 82. Again, I mentioned PPI, year-over-year basis up 9.7%. On an unadjusted basis, while the index for final demand, less food and energy, was up 8.3% year over year. And there's really no signs of it abating just yet. There's going to be an interesting time that we're going to see. I think starting in March is when we start seeing that roll over a bit, because we don't have the easy comps, low base that we saw from a year ago. Now, companies are getting really concerned because they may not be able to continue raising prices, poor fellas. Saw Coca-Cola, Kellogg. They say that consumers may start rejecting price hikes. I told you about ice. I needed ice for the boat this weekend. And how many pounds?
More for ice.
No, I don't pay any more. But huh? we got squeezeflation or whatever you and Adam call it, bagflation or sizeflation.
Yeah, there's a name for it.
What is the
gypped?
Yeah, that's right. What size ice do you buy when you buy ice in bags?
I don't buy ice in bags.
If you were to.
I think they're, I don't know. I don't know what they weigh. 5 pounds, 10 pounds? I'm not sure.
Traditionally, they were 10 pounds, and I oftentimes got 20 pounds. I even had a friend that owned an ice company, and he would give me 40-pound bags.
Okay.
Shrinkflation. Thank you so much, Niccolo.
Shrinkflation. That's exactly right. Thanks to the chat room.
Yep. So now.
Why you do the show.
Yeah. So, and by the way, for those of you listening right now, not live, you could always join us live 9 p.m. Tuesdays at dhunplugged.com. 7-pound bags are the new 10-pound bags. Price is exactly the same. So what's annoying is,
now, see, that this is people taking advantage of the idea that inflation is running
rampant. Of course.
Water, for God's sake.
Right.
See, paying that much more for water, 30% more for a gallon of water, I don't think so.
He's not paying more for water, maybe possibly for energy, maybe possible for delivery, and also higher for wages. But other than that, there's nothing that goes into ice. Right?
You had it delivered?
If you could. Yeah.
Well, you didn't, though. You went and picked it up.
I picked it up in this case. And the other problem is now that I wanted 50 pounds, usually I would get 5 bags. Now I got to get 7 bags and I'm short a pound. Makes it much more difficult to carry 7 bags versus 5 bags.
Good point. Ugh, it's so inconvenient.
Annoying. So annoying. So markets are really concerned about this, but it seemed to believe that the slow liftoff is still the way that the Fed is going to play this out. So we're going to watch that. Now, yields have been coming up dramatically. We've been talking about the 10-year yield, right, a lot? I think that's
Yeah, we have, actually.
So check out this chart. This is really kind of fascinating. This is the chart of the 2-year yield. Going back to March of 2000. This is like a half pipe.
Looks like a sonogram or something.
Yeah, it's like a
ocean bottom.
Yeah. So look back to pre-March when things were kind of going along fine, but then we got the coronavirus and Fed stepped in and they just whacked rates. And rates stayed the same, down by 0.2% through September of 2021. And then started making a rather abrupt move.
Yeah, almost a mirror image of the other move.
Yeah, which is oftentimes what you get. But this is what's causing so much problem, the short end of the yield curve, which is the place that the Fed will be interacting with as they raise rates. And this is causing a flattening of the yield curve because the long end isn't moving as much. And therefore, that is starting to cause a tightening of financial conditions, not to get all wonky on you here. But you can see where this is going, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is that the idea that everybody's freaking out. I was with somebody at dinner on Sunday night. They're like, hey, I trade. I'm like, oh, I didn't know the guy. I trade. I'm like, oh, rates going up. I'm like, yeah. He says, they're really going to be going up. I said, well, a lot of it's baked in already. Well, I don't think so. I'm like, well, if the Fed has not increased rates yet, and the 2-year has gone from 0.2 to 1.6, how is it that that's not baked in already and the market has not adjusted somewhat to this?
Well, it would concern me more if the beginning of this chart, which is, people should definitely check it out at dhunplugged.com. The beginning of the chart is where it's now at. I mean, in other words, before the pandemic in February of 2020, it was where it is now.
Yeah.
More or less.
Right.
And then it just fell off a cliff and then popped right back to where it was after it's like the pandemic's over is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And so why would anyone think it's crazy?
Right. Because we have the economy's back and unemployment's down. Fed's going to be raising rates back up to normalization levels. Stopping quantitative easing, pandemic, who knows if it's going away or not, whatever the story is. At this point, it's confusing. But let's just say that it's getting better. People are going back and things are quasi-normal right now, right?
It looks like it to me. And I think this chart's a reflection.
Yeah. And that's exactly what this is.
It does look nuts. The chart looks crazy, yeah. I'd say.
That's
But it makes sense, it seems
total
to
sense.
Me.
Yeah, I agree. Total sense.
So why is this other guy all freaked out?
Well, he's freaked out that, well, you know, rates
he's
going
to go to 100? What does he think? This guy's, you know.
Rates are going to be jacked up. I'm like, yes, we know that because the Fed said they're going to raise rates. Yeah, but they're going to really move a lot. I'm like, well, I think the market has adjusted. Well, probably not that much. We have a target of 4,300 on the S&P 500. I'm like, that's only like 3% down from here. What's the big deal? That can happen in any given time. I don't know. Everybody's talking about, you know, everybody knows everything about yields now. I think I'll take that over everybody being a physician and a epidemiologist for years. Right? How annoying was that?
Yeah, still is annoying.
Still is annoying. Got to wear a mask inside, not outside, not in this condition. You got to have the booster, not the booster. Everybody's a doctor. Everybody's a doctor. Well, space travel heated up again today.
One of your favorite plays.
Put to the wayside for some time. Virgin Galactic shares dropped 13% in the pre-market after the company said it's opening up a limited opportunity. Just folks, you may want to get in on this, so listen up. For people to buy future space flight reservations, opening up tomorrow, February 16th, for the low price, for the discounted price of $450,000.
What do you get, a lap around the moon and Mars? I mean, what do you get for that kind of money?
I think you go up to almost space for a moment.
You come back down?
And then you float down.
Just the biggest Big Dipper in the world, it sounds to me. Okay.
It is pretty fascinating. This is after there was a shakeup with the company. This is where there was already a bunch of seats sold for like $250,000. So, I don't know. It's pretty remarkable that somebody will spend. I guess we have a spaceflation too, right? I mean, it was $250,000. Now it's $450,000.
Ooh, spaceflation.
Spaceflation. So now you have $450,000 for about there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just there's the training somewhat. There's the pomp and circumstance. There's the...
What's the training? Showing you how to write a check for $450,000? Because the boxes don't really fit that normally.
You have to take a credit card. Get the points. But it is pretty amazing, the $450,000 that you pay for this. People have money. That's what you do. You spend it. M&A activity, lots of merger and acquisition. But the big deal of the day, when NVIDIA was buying ARM, ARM Holdings.
Yeah, how's that going?
Gone, over,
kaput. Which was predictable.
It was too close to home, right? They would control too many. There's clearly trade secret issues that probably were a problem, and people were complaining left and right. If ARM
there's that. That element's never going to go away. I mean, it always seemed to me that in the early days of ARM, which was a dynamite idea of a company, it's a fabulous semiconductor company. All they sell is IP, intellectual property. They always had a kind of an edge in terms of like a modernity. It's a very modern idea, and it just seemed to me that Intel or AMD should have bought them. Well, what before it was going to, during the era where you could do anything you wanted without worrying about FTC.
Good old days.
But neither one did because they were so, especially Intel, they're so prideful.
Well, AMD also couldn't have done it back in the day because they just weren't flush. They were always struggling for a number of years. Remember that?
No, they were floating, or the stock was floating around three forever.
Forever. Forever.
So, neither one could. I mean, Intel could have done it, I think, but they wouldn't have they were too prideful to do it. All right, they're still the best. And they weren't buying people out left and right anyway. They're trying to crush them instead. It's just the whole thing. And now NVIDIA's got a clue and it's too late.
Well, now what's going to happen is SoftBank's going to IPO the ARM out now. That's the next thing you'll see.
That's going to be a good idea.
Yeah, they're gonna somehow they need the money. Clearly, they want to spin it out. They want to sell it. They want to IPO it. They want to get rid of it. They want to have the cash instead of the asset at this point. And when this NVIDIA deal fell through, and I don't know how much ARM got on this. There must have been some kind of a back end. There's always a back end.
Yeah, there has had to be.
Yeah. So disposition fee. So they probably got that. And then on top of it, they're going to get the IPO going. So we'll see what happens. Now, the AMD Xilinx deal was just completed a couple days ago. Full disclosure, we own both of those. Is it AMD for Tower Semiconductor? No. Who's buying Tower Semiconductor? Now I don't remember who's doing this.
I still like to know why. What is the synergy with Xilinx and AMD?
What is it? I guess they're just trying to buy up everybody possible, right? Let's see what this
again,
is.
Again, I don't. Not
Intel. Intel's buying it. Sorry, going back here. Synergies between AMD and Xilinx. What do they do? Let's see what they do. Let's see what Xilinx does. My keyboard is not working very well here. So Xilinx delivers dynamic technology. Okay. Okay, they're going to leverage the right engine for the right workload to address the computer needs. To address the compute needs. Not compute. Compute needs for our customers. They have a complementary set of technologies. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't figure it out either.
Machine learning, genomics.
There's something there that's important.
Yep.
But I have not had meetings with anybody to have someone say, oh no, it's because of this.
Yeah, Intel's now buying Tower Semi, which is an Israeli company, $53 a share.
It's probably to expand their footprint in Israel, which is already pretty decent. They have their Haifa Research Center, where a lot of their chip, they have a rotational area, or they used to. I could be wrong because I haven't been keeping up with the chip business. But they used to have these different parts, Hillsburg or Hills, whatever it is, in Oregon and Haifa, and then there's, I guess, Santa Clara. But they used to use the Israelis had the best people, and I think maybe some of them are being siphoned off to the other guys, and so let's buy them up and get them back on board. Something like that is what I'm thinking.
I think there's also a good amount of automotive chip related and other device chip. Well, there's obviously device chip, but other chips that they do not have that will be complementary for Intel. But I think they're trying to get into the automobile area much more.
They should.
Yep, Tower does that. Now, they're offering $53 a share. What's interesting is the company came up about 45 or 50% today. And let's see if I could find it. I think it was what was interesting, they backed off pretty hard. So it was up 42% today. It was up like 55% for a while. The offer's
back that much?
Yeah, the offer's up. The offer's at 53. It's trading at 47, which that tells you. Oh, they also do CMOS image sensors, power management, integrated circuit specializing in processing, SOI, mixed signal, CMOS. So I think one of the big reasons is that there's some concern about antitrust again. It has to be. I mean, that's a pretty wide range. $7. $6.
Yeah.
From about 15-18%. 15% on the deal. So that's pretty substantial. There's a rumor that Cisco's buying Splunk.
What's going on with Cisco?
Nothing.
Say the least.
Let's see how the stock has done. CSCO. It has been over year to date down 14%, 1 year up 16%, 5 years up 60%. Not really doing much here. 2021 lifted late. Off. No,
they're having their asses handed to them. It looks like to me.
Yeah, it was back in. Well, here's something interesting for you. It was $57 a share. back in July of 2019. It's now $54 a share, which leads you to believe that things aren't working well for them.
No, it's dead in the water.
Yep, exactly. Chuck Robbins been CEO since 15. Not much going on there. Let's see, 15. Let's
whatever
see.
Happened to Chambers? He was the guy that seemed to keep that thing on course up.
He cried on TV. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Cry on TV.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No.
Not a good look.
No, that was it. Jumping the shark, it's terrible. All right, timing and social media. Let's talk about this, John, because you're the guy that can help me with this because I get frustrated. I get flustered. I do. I get flustered. You should hear me in the office. What the fuck? I get crazy. Let me give you a timeline and social media pertaining to War Games. Remember that game with Whopper? Do you want to play a game? Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, it was great.
Yep. So Friday through the weekend, plenty of tweets from media about the Russian-Ukraine situation, throwing in these tweets. Got to throw in the tweets. Because you got to be the race to be the first, causing market instability. Who knows what's real, what's just maybe, could be, I heard from. It's possible. But they put it in as it's authoritative because they are the news people. They heard from a friend that was over outside of some area in Kiev that moved out 3 years ago. Now they're living in Italy, but they heard on the phone from their brother that has some relatives in a country just outside of Ukraine that maybe there's going to be something and it could happen immediately. And that, you know what I'm saying? That's how
last week they came out with PBS or
NPR.
NPR, I
think. NPR.
NPR was the first ones that said there's solid evidence that they're going to attack this week. Now, I want to mention a thing that I've brought up before. There is no way that the Russians were going to attack anything this week because this is the Olympics are still going on. And it says, well, so what? They don't give a shit. Yes, they do. That Nord Stream pipeline, if the Russians did something, the first thing that would happen is that thing would never go into play. It would be cut off forever. And then, so what's Russia going to do with the gas? They'd have to sell it to China. Well, China might be a little reluctant to buy it if the Russians do something this week, yeah, which would step all over their closing ceremonies for the Olympics that they're so proud of, and they'd be upstaged.
Yep, not to take this, I want to take the shine off of China's deal here.
They can't do it. They won't do it. It would be silly, and there's no reason. It sounded as though there's a big rush to attack, but what's the rush?
And I have a question for you. NPR. Do you think there's a lot of a big newsroom in Ukraine on the ground for NPR?
I would hope not, but I mean, they probably get their feeds from the Voice of America or some of these other guys.
Even if they get it from any other source, whether it's
the only AP source, it'd be the CIA or the MI6 or some intelligence group. They won't say who, but this is bull crap, and it was. Patent bullcrap from the get-go. And to scare the public with all these announcements, I watched the Jake Sullivan presentation live, and they were playing it on CNBC with the stock market numbers right next to it.
Yep.
And as he talked, you watched it go from 200. I think the market open was around 200 at the time, down. It was down 200 because everyone was anticipating the speech. And he's yakking, and the market's going down 50, then another 100. It's down 300. It's down 350. It's down 400. And by the time he was done, it was down 500.
Yeah, this is the same thing we saw Monday. More of the same, right? Troops are amassing. Markets tanking. Oil and safety trades.
I'm convinced this is market manipulation.
Well, this is going to get right to where we always go. Let me just go through this for a second. It's going to go right to the bottom line, and we're going to talk about the same thing we always talk about for years, the same person behind all this. So now Monday afternoon, comment from Ukrainian President Zelensky. He puts on Facebook, he says that Russian attack could happen Wednesday. And then he comes back and says, oh, that was our sarcasm. It's not meant to be taken seriously.
Really?
Markets drop hard. This is exactly what happens when you elect a comedian to be president.
That's right. You always forget he's a comedian.
Yeah. It's like, Ha, ha, ha. Very funny.
And I got to tell you, just kid. I just kid.
Yeah, I just kid you. I just kid you. Ha, ha. Gotcha. A little late for April Fool's, but earlier for you. Tuesday, 3 a.m. Russia said on Tuesday that overnight, some of its military, its units were returning to their bases after, quote, exercises. They always plan to go back after these training exercises back to their bases, following days of U.S. and British warnings that Moscow may invade its neighbor at any time. Market took off. Much of this took place on Twitter and Facebook. So is this in the post, we'll call it the post-Trump era, which utilized Twitter and social media for a lot of political stuff, we'll call it, okay? Is this how we do wars now? On social media?
Well, it looks like we do phony wars that don't exist.
So to get and tie this all together in a nice, neat bow, how much do you think Putin made on his futures contract moves on all of this?
Lots.
I could see this so scripted to a...
Well, look, for one thing, he's not getting his piece of the action for that Nord Stream pipeline. He's got the gas prices where he wants them. They're way up there. It's going to be dynamite moneymaker when they open that thing, but they won't open it, which makes the gas prices go even higher, and it makes everything, you know, oil went up. And so he's right in a good position to open that thing and just make tons of money. But he's not making any money, so let's do this. Make some money on the side doing this. That's the way I see it. I mean, it looks like market manipulation.
Totally.
As far as I'm concerned.
Totally. It looks like a very well-scripted process. And everybody should be aware of this if you're in the markets, because then you have to ask yourself another question. If we do, in fact, see Russia invade Ukraine, and we get involved and NATO allies get involved and there's a skirmish of some sort, what does that really mean to the global economy? I mean, it's a hot point, right? But is it really, truly, an issue there for the global economy?
If it's a localized phenomenon, yeah. Like if Russia took that chunk of the Ukraine which is basically all Russians,
right?
Wouldn't mean anything. I mean, it's not going to change the number of cattle that are grazing out here on the hillside.
Yeah, it's not going to create any, it's not going to do anything any further to the price of ice cubes. So just keep that in mind. And that's what's happening. It's interesting why
your ice cubes have peaked. You got peak ice.
But it's not going to do anything to markets long term in terms of earnings of companies, unless they're directly related to Russia and we shut them down. And that's why the market rallied so dramatically today, even in the face of significant inflation numbers, and in even with the impact of what we saw after Monday's inflation discussion by some of the Fed speakers. So moving on to Super Bowl ads for a moment here. You didn't watch it. So no. You may not have an answer on the best.
I don't have an answer on the best, because you'd have to see them all.
I will tell you.
I was about to watch ads. I'm telling you now, that is over for me.
I watched them as I was sitting there. My worst ad, I'll give you that, was either Uber or Salesforce.
I may have seen the Salesforce ad. It was pretty bad.
How did that tie back? I didn't even know
what it was until the very end.
Yeah, how do you tie that back to Salesforce? It made no sense. That was weird. And then Uber, when they were talking about Uber non-eats and they were chewing on Tide Pods and things. And why are they eating sponges? I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
The best one clearly was the lowest budget by a million miles. All it was a QR code and a poorly constructed, changing color, moving around the screen QR code.
I saw that. Now, I did see that. I saw it on the Olympics.
That was fantastic.
It was just a QR code floating around the screen with different colors in the background.
I grabbed it. It took me right to Coinbase.
Oh, see, I didn't have anything nearby to grab it. So I just fast forwarded past it and ignored it.
Yep. Coinbase said that they had more traffic than they've ever encountered. And they need to throttle traffic for a few minutes on their sites.
So those QR codes do work on the television.
Yeah, worked great.
I think that's been maybe proven by some of the morning TV shows, syndicated shows, the Today Show, the Good Morning America, and the other one, CBS This Morning, whatever the hell it's called. Because they put QR codes on the screen constantly when they do their little sales bits. And I was wondering if people were grabbing them. I guess they probably do.
Yeah, it's really easy these days. You had to travel around and follow this thing to get it because it was moving around the screen. So it's like a little game.
Ah, cute. It's probably made it more compelling.
Yeah, I was moving around. I got it. I didn't know what it was because this is QR code. Like I said, it kept changing colors. It looked like it was done in crayon.
It was crude.
It was not. Yes. It was not a crispy looking quality QR code, and nothing was said.
Which is fine because QR codes do not have to be crispy.
Yeah, and there was no mention of Coinbase the entire time. I don't believe even at the end. Kind of cool. Well, then we segue back into the area of rental costs. The highest and biggest increase in the United States. Two cities are tied, Tampa and Miami Metro. Wow. Biggest rent increases. Well, people want to be in the warm weather. Why not?
Maybe they want to be under a governor who's not making them wear masks all the time.
Could be. So among the 50 largest metropolitan areas, Tampa ranked number one with a 27% surge in the rent in the last 12 months through January. And rents also rose 27% in the Miami area, while they were up 26% in Phoenix.
Jeez, who the heck wants to live in Phoenix?
Oh, we have so much more to cover. Let's keep going. Lab monkeys, we can talk about that for a second. Of the 23 monkeys implanted with Elon Musk's Neuralink brain chips at the University of California, between 2017 and 2020, at least 15 have died. So 15 have died out of the 23 that were
implanted. And the other three have got master's degrees at Cal Davis.
And one of them actually became president. So the chips were implanted by drilling holes in the primate skulls. One monkey reported developing a skin infection as a result and had to be euthanized. So you get a skin infection and they kill it. You think they could put a little cream on. But okay. Another one, this is bad. Another one was discovered with missing fingers and toes, possibly from self-mutilation. So that monkey was not happy. That monkey was euthanized.
Jeez, I guess not.
Monkey was, you know, never think about taking out the chip. Nope, we'll just kill the monkey. A third monkey became uncontrollably vomiting after surgery and collapsed 3 days later and due to exhaustion and fatigue. And it revealed it suffered a brain hemorrhage, which, of course, once again, maybe could have been prevented. Poor monkeys. Things aren't going so well with the Neuralink brain chips.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anyone actually expected it to go well, but it didn't. It seemed like a crackpot idea to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a big hoo-ha about this Russian skater. This skater that tested positive for doping again, which is why Russia's not participating under the Russian flag.
Well, this has been the case. I mean, yeah, Russia's in the penalty box, even though they still have all their athletes and they're third in medals, I believe.
Yeah, but it's not under Russia. It's under the Russia.
No, it's under ROC, Russian Olympic Committee.
So, because nobody knows that's Russia.
Yeah, right. Nobody has a clue.
Nobody knows.
Who are these people?
Well, they've never heard of that country before. So this skater, this young skater, 15-year-old, was seemingly caught doping or some other medication.
Somebody gave her drugs or something. Yeah. It was a heart medication for some ailment, but this has not been discussed in much detail as far as I can tell.
Well, there's new defense out. The 15-year-old defense was revealed. As there was this question because she won this gold medal. She said there was a mix-up with her grandfather's heart medication.
Oh, well, now this is getting bogus.
That I don't know how.
Yeah, right. But was she got walking into the bathroom medicine cabinet with eyes bandaged and can't see anything, fumbles around somewhere, grabs some bottle of pills. She shakes them. Oh, yeah, there's pills in there. I'll take those.
Those must be mine.
Bull crap.
Those must be mine at my grandfather's house way in the back.
So they gave this girl a break and they let her skate. And I realized it because if you've seen her.
Yeah.
She's unbelievably good.
Unbelievably good. Of course. Gold medalist.
And it's like, because they don't want to, they bring her over. She's getting, you know, the Russians, the Chinese, they got a thing going on. Let's let her skate because just for no other reason to get the ratings up on these miserable Olympics, because she is a draw. She is a showstopper.
Last I heard, and I don't know if this is confirmed, but they're gonna potentially allow her to win the gold, but not stand up for the gold medal ceremony.
Oh, here's what I've got the latest because I've been following it right to the minute. If she actually, the way they currently present it is if she wins anything, the whole thing is up for debate and they're going to maybe have to take her off or whatever, but they're going to put it into abeyance and nobody, there's going to be no medal ceremony if she wins anything. That's the latest.
So the other people, how does that work? The other people get screwed?
Yes.
Ugh.
So they may change it at the last minute again, but what they figure, I'm just mind reading here. They figure she's going to win. She's going to be the gold medal winner. And then they can do that. Cause if she comes in third, why don't they just give the other two people medals and then worry about her later that they could do that. But that's not going to happen. She's going to win. That's how good she is.
Could you imagine training for this for months and years, coming in second and not being able to stand up for,
it's a bunch of boneheads. What are you going to do? Mm.
Some updates on love since we are in the Valentine's season. Alongside of other forms of cybercrime, it seems romance schemes and scams have been on the rise since the onset of COVID-19. Americans lost more than $1 billion in 2021 alone. Perpetrators mainly target women over 40 who are widowed, divorced, elderly, or disabled. And taking money. They take cash.
There's been a couple of not sitcoms, but police dramas about this sort of thing. And this, the woman who's like, in fact, there was a Dr. Phil who has brought this woman on who is being scammed by some phony.
Yeah, the Netflix Tinder swindler.
Yeah, there's that. There's a bunch of them. So it's this, but I didn't realize it was $1 billion worth of swindling, but probably more than that then, because a lot of people would never admit to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have some clever timing that went on at least recently. Check this out. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway purchased about $1 billion worth of Activision Blizzard in the fourth quarter, according to his regulatory filings, jumping in before Microsoft agreed to buy the video game publisher for $68 billion.
Hmm. What a coinky dink.
So 3 weeks later or 4 weeks later, because, you know, Warren Buffett knows about gaming.
He's an expert.
He's an expert in gaming and felt this is the future. I'm going to buy $1 billion. Now, on CNBC today, Becky Quick, who's all friendly and lovey-dovey with Warren, said, well, you know, it was probably not Warren. It was one of the other guys in the firm. And $1 billion really isn't a lot for them. If $1 billion isn't a lot, really, seriously. But still, it's very suspect, the timing.
Yeah, I would start investigating Bill Gates immediately.
Bill Gates?
Yeah. Why Bill Gates is the... Bill Gates is still connected to Microsoft.
Yes, correct.
And he would know about this. I don't think he's the chairman anymore, but he's connected. There's no doubt about that.
And they were having a little lunch. They were having a little lunch.
Him and Warren are best buddies. They're best friends, period. So I would investigate Bill Gates immediately.
You see that? That's good. That's good. That's good. But will they?
No.
Not
they'll throw Martha Stewart in prison because she got a tip from a broker or something or whatever, that ever came down. And so she gets thrown in, you know, house arrest and in prison for a while making 10 grand or 20 grand. It was pittance on some insider trading deal, which she should have just been slapped on the wrist for doing. But this goes on and nobody does anything.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, just so you know out there.
Yep.
Where you stand.
Going through some other points quickly. Trump, his accountants, the Mazars, has fired the Trump Organization after decades worth of work, saying, hey, you know what? All those statements we did over the last 10 years or so shouldn't be relied upon any longer. So that's something going on with the AG of New York.
The AG of New York is after Trump.
Yep.
This is fishy, the whole thing. The Mazars are probably, who knows?
They don't want to deal with stuff. Peloton, we know the stock is in the toilet. They had this virtual all-hands meeting last Wednesday that was meant to introduce its new CEO, Barry McCarthy. But you remember what happened with, what was the name of the company? Better.com. They had an all-hands-on meeting, and then everybody got fired. Remember that? So people were very much.
I can see that happening.
People are on edge. I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
The all-hands meeting is a Silicon Valley standard. So when you get freaked out by them, that must be you're suspicious.
Yep. Well, what happened was that somehow a lot of the current and former employees started coming into the room somehow. They were given the access, and they started getting really angry. They had to cut the whole thing short and just close it all down.
It was a Zoom meeting?
A Zoom meeting that they had to shut down because everybody got on it. Facebook, we know the stock has come down very substantially. Facebook's price has fallen so low that it's now worth less than NVIDIA. Not long ago, it was one of the top five most valuable companies. Now it's in the eighth spot overall.
Buying opportunity, the way I see it.
Potentially. Crypto, I'm going to thank our friend for doing this for us. The Freedom Truckers in Canada are receiving an increasing amount of donations in Bitcoin after their GoFundMe was removed. The whole thing was shut down and this whole confiscation of assets, very strange. I know you guys have talked about that exhaustingly on No Agenda. Interestingly enough, the U.S. Treasury has reassured six concerned senators that it won't consider miners, stakers, or coders to be brokers, because obviously they have investments in there. And
exactly.
This is really fascinating. I think you're going to really find this next one. This is really interesting. Crypto exchange, the company called Binance. Is making, this isn't right, it can't be $200 billion investment in publisher
Forbes. No, that can't be possible.
$200 million investment in publisher Forbes. We gotta look at that. That's a little odd. That whole thing is really odd. I don't know. Something's not right with that whole thing. Crypto exchange, $200 million. I don't know. McDonald's has filed for trademarks for a virtual restaurant that will deliver food online in the metaverse.
Yeah, it'd probably be just as good as the food you really get.
Possibly. And finally, cruise ships. Oh, we have two more
things. Dry.
Very dry, very light. Actually won't have as much caloric calories to the whole thing. But one of those love french fries. Cruise ships, big question. Would you? What would it take for you to get back on a cruise ship, even though the CDC now lowered the ship's COVID-19 rating from 4, very high, to 3?
What would it take? I don't go on cruises, but people who do, a lot of them are on cruises as we speak.
Yeah. Probably listening in. Thank you, everybody, for the donations you made. Well, you're not going, obviously. That's the point, right? No matter how much they send you donations.
To do what?
To go on a cruise.
What do I want to go on a cruise for? I got shows to do.
That's true. Why frolic in the open sea with unlimited alcohol and delicious food?
I got.
When you do a podcast.
Hey, if you take a look at my wine cellar, I've got unlimited alcohol right here.
There you go.
And I have a pretty good, my selection, I'm sure, is as good as the best of the cruise ships.
Perfect. So thank you, everybody, for the donations last week and the weeks before that, of course. And we use those donations for all sorts of things to keep the show going. You can be a part of it as well. Feel the love. During this week of love, during Valentine's week, you can go over to DH Unplugged, click on the donate button. or it's on the bottom of the chat room right now. You could see that too. And you can donate to the show to your heart's content. Be our Valentine by giving to the show.
Yeah, and you can donate what you want, anything.
Mm-hmm. Close to the Pin, I think, is closed now. Let's see the date here. I believe it's closed to new entries. Yeah, we'll announce the winner next week on the 18th for ARKK. It's going to be kind of interesting. And I think we got to get to the stock. So here we go.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
I got to tell you, you're doing pretty good on this whole thing. Look at all the gray and look at all the good numbers there. My stuff are pretty much fast hits, either in or out, right?
Yeah, I've got a longer term. I seem to have a longer term. I have longer term picks that seem to be hanging in there for a long time. Some of them way up.
Yeah.
But even more recently, my last pick, not the last one, my last pick, I think, was Netflix short, which was, again, just an idiotic thing to do ever. But I have two. I got the, well, it's not gray, but it should be, which is a short for Peloton. And it did go, it went in the right direction, down.
Down.
And it's up 10% already. And that was just picked last week. And then I got this Performant Financial Corp, which is insider's pick, and it's 37% up. That I consider, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
But yeah, it's a good one.
The whole list,
especially when you compare it to Insight, a Baker Brothers pick, which is down 8%.
Right. So. Roblox is going to be down tomorrow. Looks like it's down about 13% after the close, 12%, something like that. So we may get stopped out of that. I'm not sure. Up 8% from the high point down to, we may get stopped out of that tomorrow. We'll see. Earnings came out. They just were in line, a little bit short on revenue. Same thing, a little bit short on EPS. We'll see tomorrow morning. It could turn around dramatically when they produce guidance. They one of these companies that has earnings call on one night, and then the next day during the morning, they do the conference call. Probably because they got to clean up their whatever they happened in the night before. So
yeah,
I'm not making a pick. We have the SEO, which we have down 1.5%. That's the short oil. That was up 6%
today. Yeah, that one is, I'm keeping an eye on that one. That could take off. I mean, at this point, it should be moving.
Yep.
But the way these ETFs operate, it's hard to say what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you have picks for this week?
I got nothing either. No, I got nothing.
All right, we're not going to delete this. We'll delete this right here.
Well, I wish I had another short, but I can't think of anything.
So many names. So many names out there. But it's a day-to-day operation here. Day-to-day. Things that you wouldn't think do well do, and things that don't go the other way. Like Marriott blew the numbers out. Big day today. Just the stock is on a tear straight higher. On the other hand, we saw that Carr, which is Ava's budget, which was on the rise. I mean, I think that thing went up to 500 in a major short squeeze one day. It was down another 15% today. So...
yeah, this gets pretty funny, some of the action.
Crazy.
All right.
All right, we'll end it there, and I'll see you again next week.
Okay, talk to you then. All bye.
Right, bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.